Track 6. Back at the desk with the news, both local and national, of what's been happening in the sporting world over the last week. We've become so used to Stourbridge Rugby winning this season that news of their first defeat in the league comes as a shock, while their soccer counterparts, the Glass Boys, endured a goalless draw in Saturday's action. First, the rugby. Stourbridge had travelled to Sheffield on Saturday to meet the local Tigers, who'd enjoyed a big away win the Saturday before, and I had a feeling in my bones that this was going to be a big test. The Sheffield ground is a windswept moor quite high above the city and an icy prospect for a visiting team where the reception out on the pitch is likely to be as hot as the surrounding temperature is cold. A patched-up Stourbridge 15 suffered further injury woes in this match where their recent superiority over the other teams in the division so far this season suffered a severe challenge. The team were never at ease in the line-out, had too many strangers to one another in the line-up thanks to the injury situation, and never really looked themselves the entire afternoon. 7 points in arrears in the opening minutes, they did manage to level things up shortly thereafter, but throughout the first half, Tigers were on top and led by 20-7 at the interval, and but for some desperate defence, the margin could have been wider. Stourbridge managed the only try of a competitive second half thanks to a rolling maul that progressed from virtually the 22-metre line to a touchdown close to the posts, but they were never able to bridge the points gap which had emerged in the first half. Their biggest concern this week may well be finding a sufficient quantity of fit players, plus replacements, for this Saturday's showpiece home fixture against the dangerous Sale 15, who will be the visitors when the new all-weather pitch is finally unveiled at Stourton Park. That's just the beginning of a fixture list that involves matches against virtually all the other leading contenders for league leadership over the next few weeks. Meanwhile, back at Stourton Park last Saturday, the Lions team added another victory there to their increasingly impressive record following promotion into the Midlands 1 West League this season when they defeated Sutton Coldfield by 32-10. True, Sutton are the bottom team in the league with only one win so far this season, but these matches still have to be won and the Lions have a chance to improve their league position still further this coming weekend when they're due to visit second from bottom Wolverhampton. Another victory there should lift the team into the comparative safety of the middle of the league table. Now for the latest soccer news about the Glass Boys, who were stymied in their home fixture against Witton Albion at the Memorial Ground on Saturday, the match ending goalless. Stourbridge welcomed back last season's top goalscorer, Luke Benbow, who had moved to Solihull Moors in the summer, but he returned to his former club on loan. However, he was unable to spark his attack colleagues into any sort of action, and it was a somewhat toothless display by the home side, who were perhaps a shade fortunate to share a draw, as the visitors appeared to have the better of it, and home goalkeeper Matt Gould was singled out by team manager Gary Hackett after the game as his pick of the home side, thanks to a number of excellent saves. But there's no rest for Glass Boys with two cup ties this week, of which the more important will take place on Saturday when they visit St Neot's Town in the second round of the FA Trophy competition. I'll be bringing you news of how that's gone on next week's news. As far as senior West Midlands soccer sides are concerned, the continuing decline of Albion is becoming a serious matter. Saturday's 1-0 loss against Huddersfield was their 9th defeat in a row, and the slide towards the relegation zone gathers pace. They now lie just 1 point and 2 league places above West Ham, who are currently in the last relegation spot, and home fans are starting to get on the back of manager Tony Pulis, the combative Welshman, whose tactics seemed hardly designed to produce a feast of goals. Albion have only scored 9 goals in 11 league fixtures so far. Mind you, that's 1 goal better than Blues, Birmingham City, have managed in the Championship, and they've sunk into a potential relegation place after the weekend's 2-0 loss at Barnsley. However, Wolves continue to lead the way in the Midlands. They're back at the top of the Championship league table, 2 points ahead of Sheffield United and 4 in front of Cardiff City after beating Fulham 2-0 on Friday evening. Villa, meanwhile, lost 2-1 at home to Sheffield Wednesday, but are still in 5th place, although a full 9 points adrift of the Wolves. And just to finish, as far as football's concerned, there were no West Midlands survivors following the weekend's first round of this year's FA Cup competition. At this stage, only non-league sides who've come through the qualifying competition, plus those who play in Leagues 1 and 2, are taking part, and we had only two participants left. Walsall, who were beaten 2-1 by Newport County, and Kidderminster Harriers, who went down by 4-2 at Fylde. Our solitary Premier League side, Albion, plus the Wolves, Villa and Birmingham City, join in the FA Cup at the third round stage early in the new year. It's good to be able to talk about cricket at this time of year. England's tour of Australia started at the weekend with a two-day match against a Western Australian 11 at Perth. England batted first in this abbreviated two-day match, designed very much to get them used to Aussie conditions, and they made a total of 349 for six declared, despite losing opening bat Alistair Cook, caught behind for a duck to the second ball he faced. That proved to be a mere blip as Stoneman and Vince then added over 150 runs for the next wicket. Both scored more than 80 runs before getting out. Joe Root, the skipper, only added 9 runs before he was out, caught behind, but then Milan, Balance and Bairstow all had decent knocks before the declaration. Western Australia were then the victims as James Anderson continued his excellent form in England last summer by taking 4 wickets for 27 runs, with the other wickets being shared by Broad, Overton and Ball, all the pacemen, and 2 wickets for the leg spinner, Mason Crane. Although a meaningless match, just allowing England merely to stretch their legs against players who are not even first choice for the Western Australian state side, I think England will be quite pleased with the outcome. And they're now moving on to Adelaide for a proper match against an Australian 11 starting today. Normally at this time of year, tennis fans would be gearing up to watch Andy Murray take on the world at the season-ending ATP Tour final competition held at the O2 Arena in London. 12 months ago, Andy confirmed his world number one ranking by beating Novak Djokovic in the final. Now both are waylaid by injury, although Andy is nearing a return to full fitness and is due to play in a charity tennis event against Roger Federer in Glasgow this week. It'll be his first action on a tennis court since he lost at Wimbledon back in July. The participants in the tournament in London are the top 8 men based on their results in ATP Tour events throughout the year. They're split into 2 groups of 4 players, each of whom plays the other 3. The group winner and runner-up after these matches then move on to semi-finals and the final, which is due on Sunday week, the 19th. This year's ATP finals start on Sunday at the O2, the 8 players involved comprising Federer and Nadal, Zverev from Germany, Thiem from Austria, Cilic, Croatia, Dimitrov, Bulgaria, Goffin, Belgium, and finally the US player, Jack Sock. Sock is a surprise inclusion. He only qualified by winning last week's tournament in Paris, while several of the other players who'd been ahead of him in the rankings were knocked out in early rounds. Sock has never found himself in such exalted tennis company before. I'll be very interested to see how he gets on. Coming back to rugby for a minute, this weekend sees the start of a frenzy of international matches as national teams from the British Isles and France take the field against an invasion from the Southern Hemisphere. England open against Argentina at Twickenham on Saturday, while Wales will be in action against Australia, Ireland versus South Africa, Scotland versus Samoa, Italy versus Fiji, and in the evening, France take on the might of New Zealand. The New Zealand All Blacks warmed up with a match against the Barbarians at Twickenham last Saturday, and mighty entertaining it was. It was by no means the full-strength New Zealand team versus several other New Zealanders, South Africans and one or two Pacific Islanders in the Barbarian team, who served up an open-running rugby match which thoroughly entertained. The All Blacks won by 31 points to 22, but you felt the result was secondary to the entertainment value. Over the following weekends, these visiting nations will travel around to meet other opponents. England face the Aussies on Saturday week and Samoa the week after that. Should be fun. These matches are certain to be among the highlights of all the sporting action this coming weekend, which I'll include next time, not forgetting an update on the fortune of England's cricketers in Australia. It's not long until the first test match of the 5-match series down there. That gets going in Brisbane on November the 23rd. The local news next week is also sure to include the latest action from our local soccer and rugby teams. The match at Stourton Park on Saturday when Starbridge face Sale is a key fixture. Sale only narrowly missed out on promotion last season and are sure to be there or thereabouts when the current one reaches its climax next April. I hope you'll want to listen to all the sports news next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.